Listen to On Air with JT on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. Go to onairwithjt.com. If you are a business owner, brand, company, or anyone selling a product and you want to advertise on this podcast, email the show directly at onairwithjt@gmail.com. We are offering extremely low rates for a limited time. Once again, email the show at onairwithjt@gmail.com. This is a JT exclusive interview. This is a JT exclusive interview.
How's it going, everybody? You are listening to On Air with JT, and I have a great interview with Scott Schreiner of Weezer. Scott, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Justin. Thanks for asking me to talk today.
Of course. Thank you for coming on the show. I really appreciate it, man. I've been a huge fan for years, and it's actually kind of ironic. I don't know if you remember this venue that you performed at, but I seen you guys live in 2014 at the St. Augustine Amphitheater in Florida. It was a great show.
Right. Were we touring with another band, or was it?
It was just you guys.
Wow, St. Augustine, Florida.
Yeah, I think it was like 2014, maybe 2013.
I think I do remember, and I think I was super, I had the flu that day.
Oh, man.
But it's a pretty town, right?
Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah, it's like one of the, I believe it's like the oldest town in America.
I do remember it because it was a really pretty town, and I have a friend also from Toledo, Ohio, that lived there for a while, so I got to see him, although I was super ill. But anyways, that's what I remember about the town. Pretty town. I was very ill, but I'm glad the show was fun.
Yeah, it was a great show.
Thanks.
So I have some questions. So, you know, what are some of your early influences in terms of music? Like, was there a specific musician or maybe a couple that, you know, really influenced you to really get into music?
Yeah, for sure. I guess, I mean, when I was, you know, in like eighth grade, ninth grade, listening to the radio, there was a song by the Police on called Message in a Bottle. And I remember driving around in the car and hearing it and asking my dad what the instrument was that I was hearing. He's like, oh, that's electric bass. And I was like, man, it just like was, I think it, for some reason, whatever it was, like that kind of sound just really spoke to me. So I started paying attention to more bass players. I think I went and saw this movie about The Who called The Kids Are All Right.
Mm-hmm.
And started seeing John Entwistle. But then, you know, once in a while on TV, like a real performer would pop up, like Jimi Hendrix or Jim Morrison or David Bowie. And
of course,
I just knew that I wanted to be on stage. You know, I wanted to be on stage, make a lot of noise. And I was just really drawn to it. So kind of took off from there.
That's awesome. So you started professionally in 95. Is that correct? I read that on Wikipedia.
Oh, I don't know. But professionally, like, I mean, I was playing, I was getting paid to play bass in bars, you know, around that time, like 78, 79. I mean, it didn't become like a full-time job for me till maybe closer to like late 80s, mid 80s.
Okay.
But I started in Toledo playing in cover bands. We play like three or four nights a week for whatever, $100 cash. And to me, that was a lot of money. So
yeah.
I got to quit my job at the pizza parlor, play music. And just after a while, I was like, man, I don't think, you know, I never really felt like I wanted to stay in Toledo that much longer and felt like there was somewhere else for me. And I was always interested in Los Angeles and Southern California. So my grandfather passed away and left me a chunk of money so I could move out to LA, get set up and go to music school, and went to MI, started in 89. And yeah, he left me enough money to live for a couple of years, and I got to focus on music. And then I was, you know, broke in Hollywood, but at least I had a running start, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And you joined Weezer in 01, is that correct?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
So I just have a question, just, you know, because I'm such a music buff nerd, you know.
Sure.
Did you feel like any kind of like pressure a little bit just because Weezer was already like very well established, you know, by the time that you joined them.
Yeah.
Like was there any like sort of pressure, or was it like, no, I got this.
I mean, I knew I had it musically, and I just kind of had the attitude like, well, this is me. Like, you're going to have to deal with me. I'm going to play these songs really well and sing and back up Rivers and the rest of the guys in the band. And, you know, you're just going to have to deal with me. So I just kind of got out there, and I got some jeers and a few things thrown at me and stuff, but like, I guess like if I thought about it, you know, like I there were two very loved bass players before me. So it's hard to come into a band being the third bass player where like everybody loved Matt, super, you know, crucial part of the band for the first couple albums. Mm. And then Mikey came in, and Mikey's fucking awesome. He's like super fun,
yeah,
like fucking handsome, like really funny interviews. Great stage presence, you know, it was definitely tough. And then I came in and I'm like, well, you know, I'm not all that nice of a guy. I'm not like super handsome. I'm just going to come in and just be me and play how I play. And I that's just kind of how it was, you know?
Yeah, I definitely get that. I do have a question though. So more of an observation. So, sure. You know, I'm 28 years old. I'll be 29 in a couple of days. So just like with how long Weezer has been around, I mean, like Weezer, the album came out in 94, the year I was born.
Yeah.
So like when I went to the concert, you know, 10 years ago, you know, it was kind of cool because I seen a mixed crowd. I seen like a bunch of people my age, like 18, 17. Mm-hmm. And then you seen like the, you know, like my parents, like age generation. It was like a really nice, cool vibe, you know. And it just shows that, you know, music and especially great music lives on and it doesn't die.
Yeah, I totally agree. Is that a question or a statement?
I guess it's a statement.
Yeah, no, I would totally agree. I mean, it's awesome to see really young people there. You know, we do some festivals where it's mostly young people, you know, and, you know, I think that's why we do some other kind of covers and stuff. So we're playing stuff that everybody will know there, even if they don't know us, you know, and everybody can have a good time. You know, but there's people my age, there's, well, not quite my age, but you know, close to it. And, kids coming and people all the time are like, oh, my kids are super into you guys. And it is great. And you're right. It's like, it's because of the songs, you know. Rivers writes fantastic music and it'll be around a lot longer than us.
Yeah. And it's crazy because when I was growing up, you know, I bought Make Believe, and you know, obviously Beverly Hills was a massive hit, but you know, my favorite song is Perfect Situation. And
nice.
Yeah, and I seen your performance that you did. I seen it on YouTube, and that was great. I love that song. I feel like it's such an underrated song.
You know, me too.
It's just a great song. I don't know. I love it.
It was a tricky time making that album because obviously we were working with Rick Rubin. He was very insistent about, you know, what was the kind of plan was, and Rivers wrote a ton of songs and we whittled it down, but we kind of stopped halfway through working on it, and Rivers wanted to go through the demos and work on stuff on his own again. And then eventually we're like, you know, Rivers just kind of kept demoing. And I think we thought that there were like three or four really strong songs on it. And Perfect Situation was definitely always one of my favorites as well. Mm. Just something so glorious about it, you know, that really brings, I get a great feeling.
Even the music video is great.
Yeah, it's cool. What was that girl's name? Alicia Cuthbert?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun, man. I think that's kind of the last like big budget, like multi-day like film shoot video that we did. I may be wrong, but we did some other kind of longer ones, but man, that was like a full film shoot downtown. That was a whole production. So much fun. I really miss playing that song. I miss the long guitar solo intro. We kind of cut that in half when we do the song, but we'll be playing it again, but I'm with you, Justin. I feel really strong about that song as well, but that was one of the ones that we were like, listen, this song has to be on the album. It's great. We're going to record it. You know, the band went in and did the tracks and we're like, Rivers, like, do your thing. Like, you wrote an amazing song. Let's get this on the album.
Yeah, definitely. Thank God I made the album. What was it like meeting Rick Rubin? I mean, like, that must have been so surreal. I mean, he's just a legend.
I have nothing but good things to say about that guy. He was a big part in me becoming a member of the band. He was really into the band participating. He's, you know, just a lover of music. You know, at that point, he was there every time we were rolling tape to do takes of songs. Son, like, just a great energy, man. Fucking, I really love that guy.
Yeah, he seems like a real, like, I watch a lot of interviews with him, and he just seems like a really down-to-earth, genuine, you know, just creative genius.
He's a music fan. He loves it, you know. And if you know, if Rick is, like, moving his head up and down and he doesn't stop, then you got something really good. Because if his head stops moving, then you might as well just quit that song right now.
You gotta leave the studio session.
figure out what threw him off, because I don't know, he's just got a great sense of what, I don't know, what makes music great.
Definitely.
Not to be redundant.
No, definitely. But was there, I always like to ask, you know, musicians that I look up to and that I'm a fan of, was there ever, I mean, obviously it was, but is there a specific defining moment that you had in your career that was like, oh shit, like, this is really happening, like, my dreams are coming, you know.
Yeah. No, I know the exact moment, because I didn't join Weezer till actually join till around Make Believe. Before that, I was like a weekly salary kind of guy.
Okay.
But I first started just filling in while Mikey got his shit together and was supposed to come back. So I was just on a fill in, and Mikey kept missing his flight and not coming out. And they were like, all right, this is our last rehearsal with you. We'll call you tonight by 7 o'clock and tell you if you're going on tour Monday morning or not. And Rivers just looked at me. He's like, all right, buddy. So either I'll never see you again, or you'll be stuck with me for the rest of your life.
Oh, wow.
And I walked out of that rehearsal, and I went and, like, got a coffee and sat on the corner of La Brea and Sunset and sat on the curb and just, like, chain smoked Marlboro Reds until I got the call. So I got the call, they're like, all right, you're going on tour Monday, so get your shit together this weekend. But that was really, like, the moment. It's like, this is why I moved to Los Angeles. I loved Weezer. I really wanted to be a part of it. And like I said, I wasn't in the band, but at least I was, like, going to be on tour with them and heading out on my big adventure, man. And that's what I wanted to do my whole life.
Yeah, and you accomplished, man. You accomplished it. And it's not an easy thing to do. So I mean,
it sucks that it kind of happened around Mikey, you know, having a really hard time and eventually losing his life. But, you know, I mean, it's super sad. Yeah. Really, really like that guy. Really, but Weezer has continued, and we continue to go out and just do what we can to, I don't know, bring the music to the people and try to brighten people's day up a little bit.
Yeah, you guys definitely do. I mean, I watch all the videos on YouTube, and just sometimes I look at the comments, and, you know, even to this day, recent comments, or, you know, people would be like, you know, if you're listening in 2023, you're a legend and things like that. And, you know, that's cool. That just shows, you know, again, just how powerful the music you guys have made. Was there ever, like, a favorite, like, venue? I mean, I know, like, every show is, like, very, you know, special and important, but is there any venue or show that you performed at that, like, was one of your favorites?
I'm gonna mess this up. There's been a few really powerful ones. I mean, I think we played in Atlanta at a, like, a street festival. It was kind of downtown, and we were playing with the Bravery. They were on that bill too.
Okay.
I just remember it was lightning out and thunder, and there were people, like, up on light poles and hanging off of the parking garage structures, and I think that was fun. I mean, we've done so many really fun gigs. It usually takes something kind of crazy for it to really stick in my head. We played, you know, on the opposite end, like, we played Budokan in Japan.
Wow.
And I thought that would be really fun, because I grew up knowing about that venue from Cheap Trick or whatever. But it was such a boring show, and everybody just sat in their seats, and some things just don't, you know, live up to what you think they're going to be. I don't know. It's just the moment when we walk out, like, still, you know, like, every time I walk out, I get really excited. So it'd be hard to pinpoint one show. We've had some small, we were doing those Everything Will Be All Right in the End kind of shows to promote that album. Okay. We played some kind of small theaters and stuff, and those are really cool. And we did some hootenanny shows. One of them was at the Naval Barracks in Alameda, where I was stationed as a Marine for a year, and they shut the base down, but we did the hootenanny at the officers club at the base. Man, that was just really crazy. So no problem. I wasn't much good to anybody in there, but it did get me on my way to what I was going to do with the rest of my life. If you want to think of just like one more question, I'm going to have to get going.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't know that you actually appeared in an episode of The Office, and you also were a voice in The Simpsons. That's really cool.
Wait, I was in The Simpsons. I don't think I appeared in an episode of The Office. I think I did The Office kind of like a anniversary show in the Scrantones. Yeah, in Scranton.
Okay.
That was really cool. Yeah, that's my connection to The Office.
Yeah, it's still really cool. But
there's a few funny little things that I've done, but yeah, thanks for asking.
Yeah, of course. Scott, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. You made my day.
Sure, Justin.
Man. And I wish you the best of luck and success, and hopefully I'll be at one of your upcoming shows.
I hope to see you this summer. Yeah, we're working on trying to get it together for the summer. So what town are you in?
I'm in Boston.
All right. I hope to see you soon, man.
Yeah. Likewise. Thank you so much, Scott. Have a great day.
Thanks, Justin.
Thank you.
Take care.
If you are a business owner, brand, company, or anyone selling a product and you want to advertise on this podcast, email the show directly at onairwithjt@gmail.com. We are offering extremely low rates for a limited time. Once again, email the show at onairwithjt@gmail.com. Listen to On Air with JT on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. Go to onairwithjt.com.